Is it really possible that hundreds of believers in Christ around the world may be killed today? Are Christians the most persecuted people in all the world? Listen to some of the statistics that I've been looking at. Quote, more Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in all other centuries combined. Christianity.com. It is claimed that 105,000 Christians are martyred for their faith each year, and that's by Discreet News 2011. Currently, over 100 million Christians are being persecuted worldwide, Reuters News Agency 2013. 70% of the world's population lives in a religiously intolerant environment. North, that's the Pew Forum, 2011. The North Korea in 2014 continues to be the worst country in the world for persecution. Nigeria in 2010, Christians suffered terror from Muslim extremists. Whole villages were massacred. In Iran, its parliament believes Muslims who change their faith should be put to death. India, up to 70,000 in Orissa have been forced to flee their homes in riots against Christians. Indonesia, between 2002, Muslims slaughtered up to 10,000 Christians. Iraq, half of Iraq's Christians have fled the country since the fall of Saddam Hussein. And we know what's happening right now there in the northern borders. Under Egypt, under the Islamic pressure, Coptic Christians are being forced from their homes. Syria, by 2012, most of the 80,000 Christians in homes have been cleansed from their homes. Europe, persecution is coming in by stealth through EU quality directives. This is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar on a Monday night. It is October the 20th, 2014. Looking at some of the facts across the board by Mark Moore, persecution, vital stats and facts about persecution of Christians. He says 163,000 Christians die every year for their faith. Half of all of the Christians who have ever died for their faith did so in this century alone. Some 35 million. Astounding facts. To think about it in the world that we're living in. From the website Open Doors USA, Open Doors, about Christian persecution, quote, everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others and in the public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, and worship. Now that comes out of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, article number 18, they say. But it goes on to say this: Christian persecution is hostility experienced from the world as a result of one's identification for Christ. From verbal harassment to hostile feelings, attitudes, and actions, believers in areas with severe religious restrictions pay a heavy price for their faith. Beatings, physical torture, confinement, isolation, rape, severe punishment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination in education and employment, and even death are just a few of the examples they experience on a daily basis. According to the Pew Research Center, over 75% of the world's population live in areas with severe religious restrictions. Many of these people are Christians. Also, according to the United States Department of State, Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from the governments or surrounding neighbors just because of their belief in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, they list this, according to World Watch ranking of countries worldwide, 50 of the countries they're listing here. I'm going to only mention a few. From the top down, the top nations that are persecuting believers in Christ, number one, North Korea. Number two, Saudi Arabia. Number three, Afghanistan. Number four, Iraq. Number five, Somalia. And the list goes on and on and on throughout many other nations of the world. This is from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the SBC.com. Quote, Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed each month for their faith, and they quote the source from Open Doors USA. Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Christ. One of the worst countries, again, according to this website, North Korea. As you're listening today to the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, we're moving on in our series of the, well, Revelation chapter 6, the prophetic unveiling of the future, the white horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse, these dramatic descriptions communicating the events that will rock the world and alter everything in a very short period of time. And it includes leveling the world of up to 1.9, some say 2 billion people may die in the context of that onslaught. Now today we're going to go on to the fifth seal. We've talked about the first seal is the white horse. The second seal is the red horse. The third seal is the black horse. And fourth seal is the pale green horse. The fifth seal is titled usually the cry of the martyrs. The cry of the martyrs. Welcome to the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar, the website behind all of this, shatterthedarkness.net. Today, in the midst of all of it and all that is going on, whether the Ebola issues, I looked at the stats today, even now in the United States, 260 people are on the 21-day watch to see if they begin to manifest or evidence or show signs of having Ebola. There's no question that hundreds of millions of dollars are now being spent everywhere, and yet we look at a world of violence and pestilence and things we don't see on the map, persecutions of those who say, whether red, yellow, black, or white, those who simply say they love Jesus Christ and they know him and they believe in him. Now, let's think about the reasons why. Whether that would be China, whether that would be North Korea, whether that would be the Middle East nations, whatever nation you may be living in, when you come to the sense that someone just with antagonism, with a great fury, doesn't accept you, love you, like you, and wants to do away with you or suppress you because you believe in Jesus, because you name him and you trust in him. One thing I'm going to tell you now that I'll mention again later on this broadcast, I am extremely aware, experientially, over the years of dealing with deliverances and demonized individuals, possessed people, and the satanic warrior monks, the chosen ones that are coming. There's no question with the demonic presence within, they're able to detect a real believer, and there is a seething hatred, and there is a bloodlust in all that I've met. They love to destroy. They'd love to take down. They'd love to, number one, crush your faith if they could. If they could just simply assimilate you, they would. But if they can't assimilate you, I'm going to tell you that on a personal basis, elimination is part of the design of the dark side. And where you see this most often is places like in the book of Acts with Stephen, and you see this a massive outrage based on a religious cult, literally, that stood in opposition to God and God's righteousness and the Messiah, Christ, that they would come to eliminate, kill, in a very horrific way, Stephen, which many say is one of the first martyrs. You can read later the book of Revelation, the first couple of chapters, the seven churches. In the place where it is said that Satan has his throne, persecution was exacted. Now, as we go through this today, the fifth seal, have you read the fifth seal? Have you heard the words? Revelation chapter 6. Again, the Lamb of God, Christ, quote, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Have you read the fifth seal? ShadowTheDarkness.net, there is the backdrop to the entire broadcast and all that we do. You'll see on there that we have listed, we're going to go over today, Monday, the fifth seal, tomorrow, Tuesday, the sixth seal. And once again, this is from the centrality, the locality, the throne of heaven, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 make this clear, that God holds the scroll. He holds the content of the future. The Lamb of God, Christ, because of what he has done, is worthy to open and unveil the future. I'll say again that no intelligence agency, not those tapped into by the masquerading finite spirits, those embracing the demons, cannot see this. Though I believe the dark side looks at the prophecies that God has laid out, because it seems as though they want to stop, engage the recipients, do what they can. This is what the book of Revelation unveils in Revelation 12 and Revelation 19. It's pretty clear that Satan knew the first time Jesus came. He was there and prepared and tried to destroy him. And when Christ is going to come again, the largest militaristic system in the history of the world, supernaturally, demonically charged, will attempt to stop the descent, the visible return of Christ. Revelation 19:19. You take a look how God has unveiled what the dark side will be doing, and also it brings warning to all of us. Are we prepared to meet our God? Do we know God? Do we know the living Christ? So I'm glad to say to you today, this is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, and this is what we say all the time, that God loves you. Nobody loves you more. That God knows you. Nobody knows you better. And that God desires you. And nobody wants you more. It is God's will to come to Christ, to come to the truth, to be saved, to know him. And so God is pursuing you wherever you are in all the world. So we're going to say by the satellite radio, welcome from around the world. And God's grace and God's mercy. And may God, by the power and mercy of the Lord Jesus, reach you today to save and to heal and to deliver. All the believers, we ask you to continue to pray for us. So many things occurring. If you go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, just a quick update. Don't forget the conferences. October the 31st, Wake the Dead Revival Crusade. November the 8th and 9th, this is going to be in Hydeman, Pennsylvania, close to the border of Maryland. The conference is on the Nephilim. We're going to do the backbreeding side of it, the master race side of it. And we're going to speak on Sunday morning also. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there. Again, look at the banner on the website and you just click on it. It'll give you all the details. There's no registration. It is just an open invitation to come. It's a local church providing that conference. And then a historic conference, I believe, in Dublin, Ohio. We ask for your prayers concerning it, a world turned upside down. And the speakers are listed there on the banner, and there's live streaming available. But that's right there in the area of Columbus, Ohio, November the 14th and 15th. And I'll also speak on Sunday morning at a local church in the area. We'll post that pretty soon. Glad you're with us, and thank you for the prayers, and we're getting along a lot better than we were weeks ago. I've been saying we're about 90 to 95% on this leg. As long as I take care of it, I'm doing very, very good. Trying to get everything done, catch up with everybody, but want you to know that in the midst of things all around us, you know, it's like we have all kinds of hell all around us fighting and battling, but in the center of it all is the Prince of Peace, our Savior. And we're going to simply say this, that we're going to declare the Word of God and give testimony to the great Savior, the hero of humanity, and the brilliance of the power of that salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Today we have 4 points primarily. The martyrs, they give their stand. And they live and pray after they are martyred. They are dressed in white. And that means everything. The facts on persecution you can get across the web, whether that's Voice of the Martyrs or many of the other places, and you're going to just see the astounding facts on a global scale. The fifth seal is the prediction on a global scale, probably because of the results of the Red Horse and the Pale Horse. The plotted, planned, designed goal of eliminating resistors, specifically those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to get them out of the way because of a new order, a supernaturally empowered new global order. Now, we've been talking about that. That's what the prophecies are about. That's what the world is feeling that is coming. And this is the big message that God has given, the accurate and infallible insight to the to how furious the dark side is. Matter of fact, I looked up that word in Revelation 12 that Satan knew his time was short. He's furious. There is an emotional, red-hot fury concerning the dark side. And this is what we need to understand, that if you're part of being a believer in Christ and you are stepping out in your ministry and you are doing it from the base of a local church, listen, you and I've got to understand that the local church gathering is in some aspects a war room, in which Jesus has launched his body into the world, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail. You and I are going to have to stand with a sense of absolute backing from God, that is, if we're under his lordship, if we're surrendered to doing his mission and actually on the field doing it. I keep telling everybody the book of Acts is the field manual for the end of days. It demonstrates that believers who were active were the most protected, and they are the ones seeing the greatest activity from the hand of God in the redemption of man. Dear believers in Christ, it is vital that we move to the book of Acts chapter 8, that millions of us become like Philip was. And that's the place of astounding advance, astounding redemption, incredible abilities to see the dark side still crushed and destroyed in the context of this battle for the souls of men. Now, I already read this. Let me read it again. Revelation chapter 6. It's all about, and this is part 8, actually. When I'm completely done, I'll make a separate web page and put all of this on one page. The apocalyptic literature, the prophetic picture that we see in the entire chapter of Revelation 6, and because it's astounding. And again, it begins in Revelation 4. The revelation of the source of the information on this future is in the hand of God, and the rights to have it opened is in the hands of the Redeemer. So if you have any sense of wanting to know what's happening in the world today, you've got to see what God says concerning how he rips open the dark side's agenda and shows to us exactly what's going to be occurring. White horse, the unleashing of the Antichrist. Red horse, the unleashing of global slaughter by the millions. And I would say again, a targeting of believers, a targeting of those who are believers in Christ. Based on the Greek word Revelation chapter 6, that you'll find in verse 4, svadzo. It's not the exact same word used in the Pale Horse. When it comes to sword, it refers to military warfare. This is more in Revelation 6, 4, the Red Horse. Well, svadzo means used for animal butchery, animal ritual sacrifice. It is a literal all-out slaughtering, but plotted and planned and targeted. Black horse, of course, dealing with the financial and food chain scarcities and collapses. Fourth seal, the pale horse, dealing with death and Hades and one-fourth of mankind and the reasons why up to 2 billion people will die in a short period of time. Now, that moves immediately to the fifth seal. What in the sequence of this, and see, I see sequence, that the moment the Antichrist is unleashed to conquer, he's bent on conquest, Well, the first thing that occurs is the unleashing of a chaos that will eliminate literally hundreds of millions worldwide. You're talking about the then succession then of the collapse economically, food chain, then the fourth, the pale horse, one-fourth of mankind, by a military battle and fighting that breaks out, by famine, of course, and by pestilence. Again, we can assume weaponized. There's no question that the Nazis were weaponizing viruses and biologicals and everything else. So that's part of it. And we need to understand that when you're talking 2 billion people, how huge that is. If you list Canada, United States, and South America, you haven't reached 2 billion yet. The elimination of 2 billion people in a very short period of time is, again, one of the astounding things. The dark side, once unleashed, has plotted, planned, designed, and will accomplish so that it can bring forth a new order. Now, when you come to the fourth seal and see that devastation, you move immediately on to the fifth seal. And you just have this succession that the Lamb Christ opens the seals one by one by one. And soon as the fourth horse, the pale horse, communication, the information, the event is unveiled, then the fifth seal is instantly unveiled. And again, this occurs in succession. Part of what I'm about to read to you occurs because of what's already been opened, the first, second, third, and fourth seals. The unleashing in rapid global succession of the plot and plan of the dark side ends up, when we come to the fifth seal, not the same in the sense of a horse being unleashed. This is more of the results. This is more of the results. After the white and the red and the black and the pale horse and the devastation of the planet as far as humanity and the designer of bringing down humans, when I say that, I mean believers without question. You've got to understand this is not random. This is not just some, this is not like a movie on television called The Crazies. This is not just zombies, but worse. This revelation in verse 9 down in Revelation 6 tells us that the Lamb Christ opens the fifth seal, and now what John sees in the future, and it may be the very near future, he says, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Now, we're talking about a very large number of individuals, but it's not as large as when you read later in Revelation chapter 7, when it seems as though an edict would have been given on a global scale with a design to eliminate any and all who believe in Jesus Christ from every tribe, every language, every people group, everywhere in the world. That's also to come. Do you understand the Luciferic system? Do you understand the antagonism, the fury, the red-hot anger of the dark side? I think that we can see in the biblical revelation where there is any kind of spiritually developed religion that is not the Spirit of God. Anything that's been developed by the demonic side, the masqueraded satanic side, you can be sure there's going to be this aggressive antagonism towards the living presence of Christ in human beings who are simply believers in Jesus. I've never met a possessed individual whose demons loved us. I've never met someone when a demon manifests, look over and say, hey, you're a Christian, you're okay, you're cool with me. In all the cases in 35 years, we've met demonized people who either felt the demons wanted them to attack us, cut us, slam a lamp on our heads, bite us, draw blood, or the demons manifesting fully, mocking and cussing and cursing and declaring they're going to destroy us. We've learned simply by the authority Christ has given us to say, shut up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Silence! And the authority of Christ decimating and silencing the demonic entity in the person, commanding the entity to come out. Now, though we do this again and again and again and again, you've got to understand the developments in the world is simply evidencing the agenda that's there. And I'm going to tell you very plainly that you're not going to find this clear, spelled out, revealed agenda in simply books that bring and talk about the trends or look at massive web data. Though many are telling about the coming catastrophic collapse and the tipping point and the world is on, a ticking bomb and so forth, that doesn't even come close to giving the actual reasons why. Dark side presence rising. The majority of the world can't see. Many by the hundreds of millions seduced into the masqueraded side of it. Most have never understood the mysterium, 2 Thessalonians 2, the real collective on a global scale that is now embedded because they have recruited and developed and worked to build the shadow system, meaning politically, economically, militarily, and that means the troops. There is no coming new order without the fury, satanically charged, and most likely altered, programmed human beings who are going to be the troops of Antichrist. You can be the troops of Antichrist with the power of the Spirit of God. If you know the power of the Spirit of God and you know the dunamis of the Spirit of God, you know the presence and power that enables you to minister, to be able to lead hundreds of others to Christ and pray for people and advance the cause of Christ. Both the development of and the activation to the world, almost as though Revelation 13 is an inverted Pentecost. It's almost as though Revelation 13 is a counterfeit to Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost of the Spirit of God coming to bring His power on the body of Christ, to unleash it into the world, to bring the mercy and the grace and the salvation of Jesus to all. To the highways, to the byways, to every creature, good news. You read Revelation 13, you're going to see that when the beast is unleashed, and the beast system, that is the entire political, economic, militaristic system, rises out of the shadows, take a look at Revelation 13 in the first couple of chapters. There is, from the dragon, the idea of the in the heavenlies above, the manifesting presence of Satan on a collective level. He's going to unleash dunamis, power and authority. He's the one going to give that. So I've had a hard time, I believe, over the last number of years. And in the materials that I read, in the body of Christ that I see, I don't think we understand the sheer reality of the powers of darkness. That behind all the bloodshed and violence and chaos and bizarre things, a friend of mine up north sends, and another friend on Facebook sends me the story of the house in I believe, close to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that they've been working at, a number of individuals have been working, that there's been such demonic manifestation. We went to the one house in Gary, Indiana, on the suburb there, on Carolina Street, where the national story came out about the demonization and the manifestation. And I've said again and again, the sleep paralysis, that is the demonic visitation of children and of millions of others in the homes, it's only going to increase. The sense of being pulled out of your body and drawn into their realm is going to increase. the occultism, the Satanism, the underground rituals, and all of it's going to increase. Those becoming very adept at becoming priests and priestesses and maguses and bokers and all the rest are going to increase. Houses that are said to be, you know, demonically infested, that's going to increase. Because the sheer numbers and manifesting power of the dark side is building. And when we come to the point when the restrainer is removed and the Antichrist is first unleashed, white horse, this is the conqueror bent on conquest. He's going to accomplish, and in that just about 7-year period, he'll get all the way, Revelation 19:19, the Antichrist, the beast, he's going to make it onto the field of Armageddon and do what it is he ultimately wants to do. In all of this, he ultimately wants, and he's furious because he knows the time is short, because the Prince of Peace is coming. All of heaven is geared and in fury, hot red satanic fury, to develop what they're going to develop into the world because they've got to get to Revelation 19:19. If you understand that is the ultimate culmination, if the satanic ritual abuse community worldwide, now probably 4 generations, 100 million, if they begin to understand and tell the truth from all over the planet, out of Russia, out of Belgium, out of Brussels, out of Spain, out of Berlin, out of the Black Forests, out of Ontario and Sydney and other places, out of South Africa and out of South America, we need to see many of you that have been struggling to break free tell the truth. That you've been selected in a satanic birthing system, likened to Lavensborn, the goal, a satanic master race, the troops of Antichrist. I'm going to tell you now, I believe biblically, that there can be no apocalypse of the Antichrist if he doesn't have a system to rule and run. If he doesn't have the troops to enforce what will become the globe's most vicious, terrifying. Well, you read Daniel chapter 2, God will tell you right there the kind of political system, military system it will be. So when I read Revelation 12 and tell you again that Satan is furious, that side is furious, a hot red emotion because their time is short. So once the Antichrist is unleashed, first order of business, unleashing of the red horse. The chaos that brings the collapse. And the black horse that follows immediately on a global scale, the economic and food chain collapses. All of that leads to the pale horse that's going to bring 1/4 of mankind dead by sword, by famine, by pestilence, and by the beasts, the Theron of the earth. When, in a sense, the smoke begins to clear, the dust begins to settle, John is shown something else. In the hand of God, with the Lamb of God having the worthy rights to open the next picture. The next picture is the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who, the earth dwellers, the earthers, those who choose to be the inhabitants of the fallen Luciferic system? They are the earthers. They are the earth dwellers. They're the ones choosing. From Revelation 13 on, they're going to choose and they're going to submit to the mark. They're going to submit. You got to understand how many millions are going to do this willingly, joyfully. And many, without question, read Revelation 13, are going to be forced into doing it in order to eat, in order to live. Now, in the world that we're living in today with persecution, there are people that are being told either you convert or you die. And that's been happening for years upon years upon years. The slaughter of human beings that simply believe in Jesus Christ and declare him to be Lord and declare him to be God. Polycarp, do you know the name? He was a disciple, I believe, of Irenaeus, who was a disciple of John the Apostle. It is said of him when the Roman soldiers eventually caught up with him and he had a dream to, you know, to go ahead and there's no more hiding out, nothing else. He was given the dream to go and he was taken before the Roman Caesar, the emperor, and brought into the arena. Tied and all of the wood, everything put around him. And of course, the emperor, you know, is with the thousands of those around in the arena. He yells for them to light the fires, and the fires were lit. And the story goes that the fires went out. And again, the order to light the fires, and the fires again went out. And the third time, light the fires. Now, he was given a choice to throw a pinch of incense into the pan and see the flash of, you know, fire and declare the emperor as God, as Lord, the emperor worship, the epitome of the satanic self-exaltation. And he would not. He speaks there, Polycarp did, the believer in Christ, for some 80 years that he had known Christ, his only sovereign and Lord, and that he, this Lord Jesus, has done him no harm. How then can I blaspheme, reject, renounce my only sovereign and Lord? The declaration to light the fires again, and the fires were lit, and Polycarp was burned and ushered into the presence of the living Christ. If there is between 140 and 180 thousand believers in Christ directly martyred because of the faith. Now, you think in terms of the dark spirits. Think in terms of Columbine and the young men that went in glassy-eyed, demonized, maybe programmed, and slaughtering others. And the question he gave to one individual, are you a Christian? And they answered yes, and they blew them away. House to house, the hunting continues as it was in the days of Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts. The picture of persecution over the years, well, take a look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can go back to Rome, you can look at all of the persecution, you can see in the book of Acts, you can see how they were tracked from city to city at times to be hunted down, put in jail, homes confiscated, and sometimes lives taken. But the spiritual presence behind Rome targeted the early believers, and they were slaughtered and killed. Fox's Book of Martyrs is the testimony of much of that. Many, many, many years later, a book comes out. It's kind of a sequel. It's called By Their Blood. But if you could do a search on the web with Voice of the Martyrs and many of the others that are telling you what is occurring, listen to the stories of persecuted believers in Christ, and please understand, whether in North Korea or in Afghanistan or in Iraq or Iran or in Syria, they don't care whether you're Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, or Pentecostal, if you have any semblance of connection to Christ, their goal is to come and either assimilate you or assassinate you. It's one or the other. Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal, is the evidence of a global persecution unleashed. The moment the Antichrist is unleashed, the hot red blood, red horse, and the bloodshed, the svadzo, the slaughtering. Please understand, that is not just some random thing. This is not, you know, a zombie attack. This is the plotted, luciferic elimination of resistors, specifically targeting anyone who's a believer in Christ. If you won't be assimilated, you will be eliminated. That will be the spiritual fury of that day. Now, I'm going to tell you what I know from the underground over all these years, listening to the sub-programmed, demonized personalities that are the assassins and the others. And I've listened to this for years. And they have echoed what I believe God has unveiled about them, their nature, and their agenda. Their words, we smell Christian blood. Their words, Russ, will make the SS troops of Hitler look like choir boys. There is in the demonized, programmed underground, what I believe, the attempts to build the troops of Antichrist, a bloodlust, a seething hatred of anyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe in some cases, and I believe by my witness and engagement of satanic chosen ones over the years, it's not so much that they have to ask you whether you're a Christian. Because of the demonization, the dark side empowerments, they're able to tell. Demons know whether you're a believer or not. Demons dwelling in those committed to the Luciferic agenda, the Satan's agenda, they're going to know. They're going to know. They've been playing the games of infiltrating the churches and observing and taking down the information and listing the resistors and listing the pastors. And they have been planting those that will one day be activated in your churches. I'm going to tell you what I found out concerning the underground. Concerning highly programmed, highly demonized satanic, the troops of Antichrist. They know what they're created for. They know who they're to target in the beginning. What they call the Black Awakening, I believe, is absolutely the definitions of the Red Horse event on a global scale. That the attempts to remove as many believers in Christ, the attempts to slaughter as many believers in Christ, to get rid of before the Anabano, Revelation 13, the rise before it can come out of the shadows into the public. So I believe a event satanically activated. I believe because the Antichrist is demonstrated to be loosed in the White Horse prophetic communication, that it is he that gives the order. And again, we don't have the descriptions. I can only tell you what I have learned in my discussions and engagement with the undergrounders is that it is a multinational spiritual release and activation of tens of thousands and thousands of those who've already been prepared and placed, who know their targets and are waiting. Once activated, demonized and programmed with red hot fury, they're going to slaughter. Assignments first, others second. The result of all of that, Revelation 6, the fifth seal. We have to ask the question, how do all these individuals, John now sees all these individuals, he doesn't see them in hell. Notice that the fifth seal, he's not seeing them in hell. They're not just talking about the world's people. That's why I'm saying the white, red, black, and pale horse, that in the context of this, there is a plotted, planned, designed attack and destruction and martyrdom of millions of believers, starting with the leaders. John sees under the altar in heaven the souls of those who had been slain. The Greek word slain here is the exact same word used in the Red Horse event in verse 4, svadzo. Those who had been svadzo. Those who had been butchered and slaughtered in almost a ritualistic fashion. To the Luciferian recon and chosen ones tapping in to see it, what it is we know. God knows about what your plot is and plan is long before you ever discovered it. And many of you that hold the plot and the plan and are waiting for the day of activation, feeling it will be a glorious day, you can taste the blood, smell in the air, smell the fear, the rage of the demons, all the rest that you've told me. All that you've been told, all that you've been promised, all that you've been beefed up with, you haven't read the rest of the story. See, I think there are those who are really part of the Luciferic system that would say, how would you know all this? Well, number one, the Word of God is the bottom line, the grid, the unveiling. This comes from the infinite God, Revelation chapter 5. God in the center of the throne holds the scroll with the seven seals. He holds information. There's not an iota of thought that Satan himself can think and get past the omniscience of God. The two reasons why those who are under the altar, the souls of those who had been svadzos, slain, butchered. Now, there's been people all along, believers all along, butchered. You've got some 30 Baptist believers in North Korea that have been jailed recently and are going to go to the courts. You've got others in the Middle East all over the place that are going to be held, go to the court. Death sentences are being given. And ISIS is slaughtering anything they think is Christian. Raping and slaughtering. Now, here in the book of Revelation, here's what God says. The reason for the slaughtering of these individuals is because they hold to the word of God and to the testimony which they held on to, the testimony of Jesus. Two things that's very clear about any real Christian. You can read about it in 1 John chapter 2. Go ahead and check it out, 1 John chapter 2, and you're going to see that a real believer born of the Spirit of God loves the Word of God, and the evidence, part of the evidence of being born of the Spirit of God and knowing Him, is that we love the Word and we put it into practice. We want to obey the Word of God. We want to hold on to the Word of God. We see it as the revelation of God. It is the revelation given in Genesis 3 that Satan came to challenge. It is the revelation that Jesus quoted out of the book of Deuteronomy in Matthew 4 that Satan challenged and wanted to twist. I am convinced that demons hate the Word of God and will do everything they can to eliminate it. We read in the book of 1 John that those who know Jesus and are becoming strong are those who have gotten a hold of the Word of God and put it into their, they're obeying. The Word of God is living in you. If you're a believer, the Word of God is living in you. You've come to believe the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Romans chapter 10. Whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that comes from the Word of God. The Word of God has power in it, life in it. It is infallible, it's unbreakable, it is indestructible. You can't do anything to it. I have seen over the years some of the greatest joy in my life to see the hundreds and hundreds of individuals that have heard the Word of God and have gotten saved. 40 years ago, I heard the Word of God by somebody that I didn't even want to listen to, and they shared this gospel, this Word of God, and it just penetrated my soul. That night when I believed on the Word of God, as it says in the book of Peter, I believed and I was born again by the power of the Word of God. Can't be born again without it. You can't grow without it. And if you're a real believer, you're getting into and have a desire for and hunger for and want to put into practice the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that gave the Word, and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you as a believer. So we're told in the third chapter of Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Where to really know this Word? This Word has God's living presence in it. That's why in getting into it, you can have, I mean, I just acknowledge God's presence, and I'm right there in his presence, interacting with the Lord and interacting with his living words. These individuals in the future, in an activation that will bring about the killing of millions of believers in Christ, that will happen based on what? That will happen based on the fact of who they are. That's all. That's all that's happening in South America, the Middle East, and other parts of the world, or in North Korea. If you're simply someone who says that you're a believer in Jesus, that you have a Bible, you know, they want to rip the Bibles and shred the Bibles. And just lately, I got the article from the Indian Hill Presbyterian Church out in Oklahoma, where somebody had come in and they had put 666 and upside down and blood stuff, and they desecrated the sanctuary, a building, a place where people were using for worship. They came in to desecrate it all and to rip out pages of the Bible and burn pages of the Bible and take a knife or a dagger or an anathema and stab through the Bible. Dark side presence and those who engaged with it have a furious hatred of the Word of God and anyone holding to it. So those who have been slain are those real believers because of the Word of God and because of the testimony. Now, you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out the only testimony they're talking about from beginning to end is the testimony, the witness that we are believers in Jesus Christ. That we are believers in Jesus Christ, that Christ lives in me, and we have this joy. That, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's power in your testimony of Jesus. You can't get saved without calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Your walk in Christ and your knowing of him, your singing, your hymns, your worship is packed. Your centrality of your walk is the living Christ. And so my testimony in these 40 years is a living Savior, a Prince of Peace, God in human flesh. All that the Bible says that he is, he is. And this is why the dark side hates. This is why the dark side would love to silence and kill and destroy anyone, any human being. And any place they get power, political power, any place that they can release themselves without opposition, you can be sure, as it was with the strong, hardcore North Korean atheistic communists when they came down into South Korea. Go ahead and read about the persecutions there. The goal was to target the pastors, to bury their families alive unless the pastor would renounce. There are those in so many countries of the world, and maybe some that are listening, that you have been led to do some of the most horrific atrocities, like the Roman soldiers, like the Nazis. The martyrs cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true?" See, they know that this is going to end. I mean, who wouldn't want the ending of the slaughter of believers in Christ on a global scale? Who would not want the end to the wars and the raping and the shredding up of lives? I mean, we all want that, but it's not happening. Because there's a spiritual source behind all of it, leading to a point that is literally beyond no return. I mean, the only ability to stop the annihilation of the human race is in the hands of the Prince of Peace, the return of Christ. And that's what hell fears the most. Hell is hell-bent on the elimination of true believers, or the assimilation, and truly the assimilation of the world into their system. If you read Revelation 19:19, you know the ultimate end of what it is they want. But if you read Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 19:21, you're going to see that God has an answer to the radical evil, the putting to the end of all of it. That's what these believers wanted. They acknowledge clearly the earth dwellers, the earthers, in the context of the book of Revelation, the inhabitants of the earth, the earthers, as I call them, are those who take the mark. They worship the image. They are luciferic. They are committed. They are spiritually tapped into. They are part of the most spiritually, demonically, satanically charged system in all of human history on the face of the earth. Their decimation and eternal loss is declared in Scripture. The same Scripture that declares their rise to power declares their utter annihilation, the second death, the great white throne judgment that even the demons know about. To the believers that held to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, verse 11, then a white robe was given to each of them. A white robe. This is more than just the martyr's robe. This is also demonstrated in Revelation 7 and Revelation chapter 19. Look who has the white robes. If you're a believer in Christ listening to this right now, you are in prophecy. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 on down, when you see the armies of Christ, those who are dressed in clean linen, white, the white robe. The idea of the utter redemption. The blood of Christ has cleansed you. Though your sins were like scarlet, you'll be white as snow, right? Because of the blood of the Lamb, washed and cleansed and made righteous in the sight of God by the righteousness of Christ. The martyrs here, the believers here, and the believers in Revelation 7, and the believers descending, already raptured, already glorified, coming down, descending with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, dressed in white, redeemed, clothed. Have you read this? It goes on to where they were communicated with, those crying out under the altar, the martyrs. Here's what it says. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. God knows the Luciferic plan involves the extinguishing of every single believer on the planet. The attempt of that is found in Revelation chapter 7. The martyrs, those dressed in white, found in heaven, John says, who are they? The response is, these are those who have come up from the Hay Thalipsis, the Hay Megali, the great, the tribulation from every tribe, global, every nation. It is time to walk in the power and have our walk and our testimony clear in Christ, don't you think? It's time, whether you know it or not, what side of the fence you are on, do you know the living Christ? You are called to repent and come to a Savior now. We're at the end of the hour. We are out of time. This is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Keep us in your prayers. Good night.